Young people, have you ever heard that God has an address? God can be located and found. Have you ever heard this? Well, tonight we'll find out the name of the street, the name of the city, where God can be located and found, and even met by us. Well, we have to start with the dilemma that seems to be almost impossible to overcome. That is, between what God is and what God desires. I'm sure you have heard in the two meetings already. Let me start with what God is. The Bible tells us that no one has ever seen God. In fact, in one place, the Bible says, if you see God, you cannot live. In other words, He is invisible. Also, the Bible reveals, especially there is a book called 1 Kings. King Solomon prayed like this. Hear our prayer. In the heavens, your dwelling place. In other words, God is in the heavens. And He's everywhere. In other words, He's omnipresent. Where is He? Where can we meet Him? Where can we find Him? Well, not only that, there is a verse in the Bible that says, He dwells in unapproachable light. In other words, if we come near Him, even if we want to come near Him, we just can't do it. This is what God is. But how about what He desires? What does He desire? He desires, listen to this, to be with man. He desires to make Himself known to man. He desires to reveal who He is and what He is to man that He created. How do we reconcile this dilemma? He cannot be seen. He cannot be approached. He's everywhere. He's in the heavens. Yet He wants to be with us. Yet He wants to reveal who He is and what He is to us. How do we do this? How can He accomplish this? Well, there is a story that I want to tell you. It's in fact a story told by our spiritual father named Watchman Nee. One day, he saw the birds in the park, and he wanted to come near the birds. He just wanted to be among the birds so that he can hear the birds singing. He just wanted to feed the birds with the leftover rice that he had. But every time he comes close to the birds, not knowing his intention and heart, were frightened and flew away. So he would try again. Birds, wait for me. I have no intention to hurt you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be among you. I just want to feed you. But each and every time he comes close to the birds would just fly away. So then he realized, the only way that I can be among them and be close to them is to become a bird. He had to be reduced from 5-7 inches high to small bird. So when he comes to the birds will welcome him because he looks just like them. The birds will not be frightened by his presence. That will be the only way. Guess what? God wanted to be with man, but we were too different. He's holy and divine. We are too sinful and human. We can't come near him. So he decided in eternity past, one day I will become just like them. So when I come to them, they will not be frightened by my presence. They will not run away. Can you imagine if God in his glorious radiance comes to us? Who among us can welcome him? Who among us can greet him? We'll be all frightened. We'll all prostrate. We'll never look up our head. Even if he says, I want to talk to you, we'll feel like, what did I do wrong? Why is he here? We're too different. Please don't come near me. He decided to be like us. So listen to this. He decided to become a man. I would call it, and the Bible reveals, two-step process. Young people in Central New Jersey, I want you to read this verse for me. Matthew 1:20. All the young people, please open the Bible. Read Matthew 1:20. It reveals the two-step process showing how God became a man. Can you read it? I'll read it. But while he pondered these things, behold,
an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which has been begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I want you to pay particular attention to a phrase, begotten in her. It does not say begotten of her. Oh, God was first born into Mary. That was the first step. Oh, young people, do you believe this? God was born into a woman and stay there for 9 months. Hard to believe. The Almighty God is willing to stay 9 months in the mother's womb. What's the second step? Second step is he then came out of the womb. Hallelujah. First born into her, not of her. In fact, he was born of the Holy Spirit into her. The key word is in her, not of her. And he came out, what? With humanity like us. Wow, he partook of flesh and blood. He put on humanity like us. This is the two-step process that he went through to become a man. Saints, so we can say this. Are you ready? I want you to remember this phrase for the rest of your journey as a Christian. Now, I'm going to reveal part of the answer concerning God's address. Now, God is in Christ. Where is God today? If somebody asks, we have to say this. God is in Christ. What's the address? In Christ. Well, what does that mean? This is what it means. God can be found in Christ. God can be located in Christ. You want to know God? You need to know Christ. You want to meet God that's invisible, omnipresent, unapproachable? You need to meet Christ. You want to touch God that is invisible, omnipresent, in the heavens, unapproachable? You need to touch Christ. You want to experience God that's invisible, omnipresent, unapproachable? You need to experience Christ. Oh, God is in Christ. We have the address. What's the address? In Christ. Christ is the address and street name of God. Well, now, the young people in Nutley Meeting Hall, I wanted to read this verse, John 14, 8 through 10. Young people in Nutley Meeting Hall, North New Jersey young people. Let's read it. John 14, 8 through 10. Ready? Go.
Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, I have been so long a time with you, and you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How is it that you say, show us the Father? You do not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who abides in me does his works.
What is he saying here? He's saying is this, I am the expression of the invisible God the Father. You see me? You see the Father? I am the embodiment of the invisible, unapproachable God. You have me? You have God. In fact, I am the Father. You learned that, didn't you, this afternoon? I am the Father. I am the Son. How could that be? I don't know, but that's the fact. But not only that, now the young people in Greater Boston, I want you to read this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. What does it say?
The Lord is the Spirit.
What?
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Hallelujah. How could this be? He's the Father. He's the Son. He's the Spirit. What is he? Oh, I have this word. This is the word from the ministry. Are you ready? Who is a Jesus? If somebody asks us, who is a Jesus? We have to tell them this. Are you ready? He is triune God-man. He's a triune God-man. Wow. But then, saints, do you not know that the Spirit is in us? Is that right? Then what does that make us? We also are triune God-man. Hallelujah. This is unbelievable. You know, for this reason, God can be located in Christ. For this reason, let me just read this verse to you. Romans 8:39 says the following. Romans 8:39. It says this. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is that? You want to experience the love of God? Where is it? It's in Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. But this Christ, is now the Spirit in us. So now, young people, can you say this? Where was God 2,000 years ago? We have to say that God was in Christ. But if people ask us, where is God today? That Spirit is in us. So we have to say, God is in us. Is that right? God is in us. Okay, Brother David.
Amen. Wow, that was awesome. Amen. So God is in Christ. And I think tonight, Brother Joshua and I, at least just have this feeling to impress you about who this man Jesus Christ was and is today. And I hope you guys would love this person and appreciate this person. Okay, so I have a slide. Maybe the brothers can, hopefully this can help in some way. I don't know if the brothers can pull it up. Okay, awesome. So you can click through the first like three. Okay, so we know this, right? God is one, but he has three hypostases, or he has three persons, okay? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so Brother Joshua just walked us through how mysteriously, somehow, this triune God, the Father is the Son, and the Son is the Spirit. So we can click through, click again. Click one more. Yeah, there you go. So these verses here, you know, Brother Joshua just had us read two of these verses that I have here, show us that the Son is the Father and is the Spirit. And so what this shows us is that actually the entire triune God is found in the Son somehow. Very mysterious, hard to understand. And so the wonderful thing is that this person within the Godhead, the Son, he went through a process, just like what Brother Joshua said, to become a man. And so we can click the next one. He became a man named Jesus Christ. And tonight, I just want to impress you all with this name, Jesus. Jesus, the name of Jesus. Actually, the entire triune God, and we'll see more concerning this, is contained within a name. Within a name. Have you ever considered that? When you call on the name of Jesus, you get the entire triune God. And so I have some verses here. Maybe we can click once. Yes, okay. You know, this is just a brief, I just went through the Bible briefly, like some verses that came to my mind. Okay, who is the Father? Okay, the Father is, he's a God of hope. He's a God of peace. He's a Father of compassions and the God of all comfort. He is the Father of glory, the Father of lights. He is light itself. He is love itself. Okay, who is the Spirit? How about we click again? He is the Spirit of reality. You ever wonder what's real in this universe? That's found in the Spirit. He's the Spirit of holiness. There's no holiness outside of touching the Spirit. He's the Spirit of life. That's Zoe. The life of God is in the Spirit. He's the Spirit of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay? The Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, you want to enjoy grace? It's in the Spirit. He's the Spirit of glory, and he's the Spirit of truth. Wow, this is a lot of things. Have you ever realized that you get all of these things when you call on the name of Jesus? No, I feel like many of us grew up learning about this practice of calling on the name of the Lord. This is something common among us. But I'm worried, young people, that this practice is not appreciated enough. Perhaps it is relegated to a low place within the context of our Christian life. Perhaps you think calling on the name of the Lord is just a warm-up, you know, before you start prayer, you know, you just, oh, let's call on the name of the Lord together, you know, to warm up or something like that. And then you forget about it, right? Or when you don't know what to pray, right? It's a little filler, Lord Jesus, right? You just say that. Oh no, young people. Tonight, I want to impress you that calling on the name of the Lord is so tremendous. It is amazing. Within this name, Jesus Christ is everything that God is. When you call upon this name, all of these things that I have bolded on this slide become yours. Become yours. And so I want to impress you. I want to charge you to have a newfound appreciation for calling on the name of Jesus. When you call the name of Jesus, you get the Father, you get the Son, and you get the Spirit. And so I want to share with you all a few of my experiences of calling on the name of the Lord. I too, like many of you, grew up with this practice. I heard my parents calling on the name of the Lord often as I was growing up. And it was just a part of my daily life. It was a part of my daily life. But I would say it was not really until college and afterwards that I really began to appreciate how much I could gain by calling on the name of the Lord. And so the first experience I'll share with you is this, is that I was in college. Okay. And I hope, young people, I hope you would pick up this appreciation earlier than I did. But anyway, I was in college and I was facing a particularly stressful situation with regards to my personal life and grades and anything. Lots of things were happening. And it was perhaps the first time in my life that I was being crushed by anxiety. Just absolutely crushed by anxiety. I still remember very distinctly. I came home from class one day and I went up to my room. There was no one else in the brother's house where I was living. And I was just so anxious about my life. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to turn to, who to talk to. And so I went up to my room and, you know, the lights were off and I wanted to take a nap and just forget about everything that was happening in my life. But I couldn't fall asleep. And so I said, okay, I should try to pray. And so I got up and I tried to pray. And I couldn't find any words. I didn't know what to say. I was just so consumed by everything that was going on in my life. And so spontaneously, brothers and sisters, I did not think like, oh, maybe I should try calling on the name of the Lord. No, spontaneously, I began to call on the name of the Lord. Not in a loud way, actually in a very soft way, I began to just call on the name of the Lord. Because I had nothing else. I didn't know what else to say. And as I breathed on the name of Jesus, I tell you, that slide that I just showed you became very real to me. I didn't ask for anything. I couldn't form a request in my prayer. I didn't ask the Lord to do something for me. All I did, I just called on the name of the Lord with my whole heart. I said, Lord, and I didn't say this, but in my heart, I was just like, Lord, I need you. I called with that kind of attitude, with that desperation. And I tell you, I experienced the peace of God. I experienced the God of all comfort that afternoon. And I tell you, after calling on the name of the Lord for maybe 5 minutes or so, 5-7 minutes, I can't remember how long, I just called and then I just kept calling because I couldn't do anything else. And after that time had ended, I tell you, I had no more anxiety. I was completely at peace. Completely at peace. Okay, I'll give you one more story. when we are at Penuel, you know, someone asked a question, and I thought this was a very, very good question. I very much appreciate that someone wrote this question. He asked the question, how do I shepherd, or how do I take care of family members or close friends that may not be pursuing the Lord very much right now, you know? And even to the extent that I feel like they are kind of dragging me down or negatively impacting my pursuit of the Lord. No, well, what do I do? Well, I'll share with you from my own personal experience, brothers and sisters. You know, I have friends like this, and even, anyway, my brother, okay? Anyway, if you know who my brother is, please just cover him. But anyway, my brother is not in the church side anymore. And whenever I spend time with him, whenever I call him or I need to talk to him about things, or, you know, he's my brother. I love him. And I love spending time with him. But, you know, he's even told me that he doesn't believe that God exists anymore, okay? And so this is a very complicated situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take care of him. I don't know how I should be around him. I don't know what to say to him. And so what do I do, brothers and sisters? I just call on the name of the Lord. I tell you, I do this so often. Before and after I talk to my brother, especially after. After I talk to him and I'm just reminded, Lord, my brother needs you. But also I'm reminded, Lord, I need you. I need you as my comfort. I need you as my grace to take care of my brother. But most of the times I'm not praying that. I'm just calling on the name of the Lord. I'm just saying, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, my brother. Lord Jesus, my brother. And as I do that, anyway, I'm putting all my burdens on the Lord. All my feelings that I have toward my brother, I cast them on him. I place them on him. And I tell you, all these things that are found within the triune God, all the promises of the Bible, everything that you find, it becomes yours when you call on the name of Jesus with a pure heart. You say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. You know, you call with your whole being unto him. I tell you, everything that God is embodied in that name. In that name. Because that name is a person. And this person is unlike any person in the entire universe. He is the entire Godhead, and yet he is also a man. A man like you and me. A man that understands what it is to bear the anxieties of life. A man that understands what it's like to have siblings. A man that understands how frustrating it is to not be able to do certain things or not to be able to live up to something. I don't know, whatever it is. He is that man. And he has the name of Jesus. But within this man is not just humanity. There is also divinity. And within his divinity, there is a supply. There is a strength. There is a wonderful flow that surpasses all of our needs. What a person! And what is his name? His name is Jesus! Oh, I love this name! I would not be here today without this name. The name of Jesus is so sweet. It saves us from every situation. When we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to say, we can call on the name of Jesus. So I love this name, and I hope you and sisters would also love this name. Our wonderful God, who is almighty and powerful, who desired to come among us. He has a name. His name is Jesus. May this name never leave our lips. May it always be enthroned in our hearts. May we call on him all the time, and not just as a religious exercise. May we realize that in this name is everything that we need. And so I encourage you, young people, if you've never done this before, go and spend some time just to breathe in the name of Jesus. There are some excellent hymns in our hymnal that help us with this. 66 is one of them. 208 is another one. But anyway, there are many things that we can do to enter into this experience of the name of Jesus. And I hope that this name would become so sweet to you from the time that, you know, I don't know what grade you are. You could be in seventh grade. You could be in 12th grade. I don't know. But I hope from this day on, we would be on this quest, set on a quest to discover the depths and the riches that are found within this name. Anyway, I'll stop here. May we love our Lord Jesus, and may we call on his name and love his name more than ever before. Because in this name, the entire triune God is embodied. Amen. Okay, I'll end here.